on the bus, they're like, I hope you make it, you know? They're like, good luck, because it's not guaranteed. Anyways, so a bus driver had fallen asleep behind the wheel. And one of the things is that, like, I was like, damn, I could have just died right here, like on this Greyhound. And there's so much reckless shit that I do in my life that dying on a Greyhound would be so tragic. Like, the idea that, you know, I didn't die sailing. You know, I didn't die, you know, hiking, you know, in West Van, North Van by myself and, you know, fought a bear, you know, maybe potentially beat the bear, you know, but I really died on my way back, you know, or maybe just come out, or, you know, a cougar or anything, you know, fall off a cliff. It could just be so much, so exciting. But it was almost a Greyhound took me out. And you're like, a Greyhound, like those tiny ass, shitty ass dogs. Listen, Greyhounds are beautiful, beautiful creatures. And anyways, but the bus, yeah, I almost died. Anyways, so that was just like the beginning to this long ass journey. And I had to be in work in like 3 hours. And I'm like, okay, I'm like an hour away, but I got 3 hours to get to this appointment that we had. And anyways, so they wouldn't let the bus driver back on the bus. The police came, they're like, you know, they did the sobriety test. They're like, nah, he's not drunk, he's just tired. And Marshawn Lynch was like, hey, yo, I don't give a shit. He's not getting back on the bus. And then everybody voted and was like, yeah, he's not driving the bus anymore. I don't feel safe. So this man had to sit in the driver's seat while a civilian had taken his keys and wait for a new driver to come. Now, I felt bad because he looked kind of young. He didn't like, I mean, I feel like I'm kind of young, but he was like very young. Like, you know, you could tell like this was like one of his first jobs. And anyways, and he was like, he just had to sit there. So talking with the other passengers, this girl who was coming from an anime convention, but also MAGA, was like, well, I'm driving to Columbus. And I just asked her, I was like, well, you know, can I get a ride? And I got a ride. So it was like me in the back of this minivan with four people coming who had come from a like Comic-Con, but also a MAGA Comic-Con. I wasn't really sure. Anyways, I got to Columbus and was safe. But my boss told me if I ever get on a Greyhound again, she will fire me. But anyways, thank you for listening to the show. Listen, we do this every Thursday from 7 to 8 every week. This is a show for the people.
Hi, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Nichu Da, and this is my show, Convictions and Contradictions, otherwise known as CEC, probably the only radio show to ever be subtitled, ironically. We are broadcasting from the traditional and unceded territory of the Musqueam and Coast Salish people from the Vancouver campus. It is now 8 a.m., early morning. Good morning, everybody. I don't usually say that on the show, but something my mom's pointed out to me, should say good morning. Anyway, today's show is going to be different from previous shows because I have two guests with me today. I've had guests before, but this will be interesting, some new friends of mine, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves. So whoever wants to go first.
Hello, my name's Henry. I'm currently in my fourth year of studies at UBC. I'm currently studying geography.
Hey everyone, I'm Fionn and I'm studying international relations as a fourth year and environment and society minor as well.
All right, so those are my two guests, Henry and Fionn. We all met during a co-op term. We all do a co-op term at the CRA, the Canada Revenue Agency. I'm sure you all received a letter or possibly a phone call from maybe even from us. Who knows?
Maybe
our names sound familiar. So what we're going to talk about today is our co-op experience. We're all from UBC. We're in different areas of study, though me and Henry are both in geography. I'm also studying human geography, a little different from Henry. And then I'm doing double major, human geography and sociology. So a little similar there. We didn't know each other before this co-op term. We all met at the CRA. So we're going to talk about our co-op experience, starting from why we were interested in co-op to meeting each other at the CRA. It's going to be a very linear conversation. Mm-hmm. But of course, we'll go on tangents and we'll see what we come up with. So, first question for all of us. Why were you interested in joining a co-op program? I'll start. I was interested in being part of a co-op program because I grew up in Surrey, BC, not too far away from Vancouver. And so I've always lived my life in that area. And I've always wanted to travel out, get more experience. So, and in the co-op program, there's the option to do international co-ops or national co-ops outside of BC. So I was really intrigued by that opportunity to travel. And also just getting job experience. My job experience has been very limited before the co-op program to like part-time jobs like waitress, dishwasher, kitchen prep cook, things like that. So I wanted more professional experience, more aligned with my studies. So that was mainly why I was interested in the co-op program. So Fionn, Henry, why were you guys interested? Why did you want to join the UBC Arts Co-op program?
For me, it was a bit different. I actually started off in science here at UBC, transferred to UBC Arts that following year, and got an email from the arts department saying, hey, do you want to apply to Arts Co-op? Read the email. It looked good. So I went to the, I think it was one of their info sessions at that time. And coming out, I thought it would be a great idea for me to find jobs, get experience before I graduate so that I have a job and be prepared for the adult life after undergrad. And since then, I've applied to many jobs, most of which have rejected me, except for the government. I'm not kidding you. I applied to, 32 positions, and I got 2 jobs in my first term. Mm-hmm. I took one of them, which was the call center for the CRA, and I've been with the CRA since.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't be afraid of being rejected from a job, because mm-hmm. it's going to happen a lot.
Yeah, it's a learning experience.
Yeah. So, Fionn, why were you interested in joining the co-op program?
So, my first experience with the co-op program was when I was choosing universities. So, when I went to UBC, we had a tour of sorts, and then the tour guide basically told us, oh, in UBC Arts, which I was interested in, they were like, you can do exchange, you can do co-op, there's a lot of international experiences. And just similar to Neetu, I also was interested in international positions. And for professional job experiences, that's definitely a thing that I was looking for as well. And so I was one of those students that didn't know what they were doing in the future. I did a really weird selection process for the faculties. Like, I applied to UBC Arts, and then I applied to SFU BD, and I applied to like City Studies in UT. It was just a complete mess. But in the end, I think using co-op, I wanted to explore different job avenues and like different choices.
Yeah, I was similar. I think also a part of it for me was that I had this professor from one of my classes. I had this statistics class. And usually in university, when you take a class, it's all about, you know, the class. You're focusing on the class and the syllabus and the topics. But I had this one professor for this statistics class who spent a whole class just talking about the job market, how we could do things to better ourselves and get experience, because he had this whole thing about you need experience, you need practice to do things well. And especially in statistics, he personally was interested in statistics, one of the maybe few professors who's actually interested in their own field. Not to say that that's not always the case, just he was just very, like, really into it. And he always mentioned that he got better at statistics because he had so much experience in it. He would email professors, like, can I be part of it? Can I help out some way? Or really search for jobs that were about that area. And if the students, had questions about job experience or things that we were interested, he was so open to it. Like, bring me your resume, bring me your cover letter. You know, I'll, like, give you some tips on where you can apply. He was, like, so, like, on it and in it, and that I think that motivated me a little bit. And me and Fionn have talked about how we were interested in international, the international aspect of co-op. What about you, Henry? You haven't really both of your, you've had, me and Fionn have only, are in our first co-op term. In the co-op program, you do three terms. Me and Fionn are starting, are doing our first one at the CRA. But Henry has done two, and they've both been at the CRA. So are you not interested in going to another organization or going international?
I have thought about working for other organizations. I've thought about working for Royal Bank, Transport Canada, Canada Revenue Agency, even the Canadian Environmental Assessment Agency, you name it. But I've stayed with the CRA only because A, I get to learn about taxes, and B, you, it's something everyone needs to know. And I've since learned a lot about taxes. I've learned about how, about personal finances. And even at the Canada at the call center, I've learned about soft skills, a lot of skills. I mean, there's an entire list. And even right now at the compliance division at the CRA, I've learned mainly just about keeping attention to detail. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about you?
For me?
Yeah.
Why did I choose CRA, kind of thing?
Yeah.
Oh, well, because in the Canada Revenue Agency, I guess I have relatives that work in the public sector, and it's always been interesting to me as I'm an international relations major, and likely there's going to be a government field that I might go to after international relations. And with my relatives, one of them works in the Economics Bureau, and I've always seen that what they learn and what they do is really interesting. So I guess that's also part of the reason why I am joining the CRA.
Okay, so a lot about skills that you're learning there. We've all learned a lot more about taxes from the CRA for sure. I definitely didn't know a lot about taxes, probably nothing other than you have to pay taxes. Because for my family, we would usually have accountant do taxes. But then when you go into the CRA, yeah, you really learn a lot about your taxes. But Henry, you had two co-op terms at the CRA. You were at the call center, and now we're all in the T1 matching department under the validation. It's like validation department and then T1 matching, and then we're T1 matching assessors. But we'll talk about that a little bit more later. But what were, like, you had the call center position at the CRA, and then you have to start applying for another co-op position.
Yeah.
Why did you go again to the CRA? Why not go? I'm really curious why you just kept going with the CRA. You mentioned other organizations that you're interested in, like Royal Bank and Environment Canada. Like, why didn't you go a different way? Why continue with the CRA?
I'll admit, I did apply to those positions. I heard nothing back.
Okay. Don't be worried, people. If you haven't applied to jobs a lot, it definitely happens a lot where you don't even hear back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what happened? I was at the call center and I saw a few positions. Most of them were from the government, and I've always went to work for the federal government. And I said, you know what? Let's just go apply. So I actually applied to Transport Canada and the Canada Revenue Agency, so where we currently work.
Mm-hmm. I heard that you did get a position for Transport Canada,
yes,
but it was an administrative sort of position,
yes,
and that's why you weren't interested. You were thought more like critical thinking skills that you would get from the CRA.
That, and I wanted to develop my tax skills because, mm-hmm, honestly, I have an accountant that does my taxes too.
Right.
So.
But of course, now we could all do the taxes ourselves.
We should.
We should start a business. It should be a business with us three.
There you go. There you go. Neetu can be the our director.
No. I would just boss you guys around. You'll eventually hate me.
Are you sure? Are you sure?
I don't know. Maybe you would. I would be very bossy as a director. Make sure you finish everything on time. Otherwise, if I run a crappy business, you'll hate me even more. Like, we're not getting our fair share of the pay. Why aren't we getting everything we pay? And then I'll have to say, because you're not working hard enough. That's why. So let's not do the business.
Let's not do it? Okay.
Let's back out. We don't even have a name for it.
But yeah, no, let's get back on track. So yeah, I did apply for Transport Canada. It was for administrative assistant. And I was at the call center, and I thought, mm-hmm, you know what? I feel like there is more room to learn about taxes, and I figured there's probably more skills I can learn at our compliance division. So I applied there. They gave me a position, and I took it. The only reason I did not take Transport Canada was mainly because it was administrative assistant, and the fact that, at least in my head, I thought that the job just entails photocopying documents, setting up meetings. But I feel like I already have those skills. I already have customer experience. I'm working for the CRA at the call center. That's customer experience. And I worked at Abercrombie prior to that. So didn't really think I'd be learning as much there. Right. So, yeah, I stuck with the CRA since.
Yeah. I think when you first start looking for a comp term, I think we're all less picky about the position. Because when you might go into it, you might be very hopeful and idealistic. Like, it's going to be easy for me to get a job. Like, my resume is good. The coordinators say that. I've showed it to colleagues. Y'all think it's good. But then once you start applying and you don't hear back, or you don't get the interview, or you don't pass, sometimes they have a little assignment they have you do, like, I'm going to send you, like, an Excel document, and you have 20 minutes to, like, fill it out according to instructions. Like, that's something I got once. Or I need you to write, some sort of little blurb and then email it back within this time limit. Sometimes you don't hear back from that, and so you lose that idealism. So you get less picky about it. So you're like, okay, whatever place will take me, that's good enough.
I definitely relate to that, yeah. With this being our first co-op term, that's definitely a feeling that I would have too. And then
definitely the feeling I had.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you're in a co-op term currently, either at UBC or some other school, like a lot of our colleagues in the co-op department, in our program, they're from different schools. We have students from SFU, we have UFE, we even have someone from UVic, so quite far off. So if you're in a current co-op program in whatever school, this is definitely an experience you're going to have, not hearing back and losing some faith and just kind of being less picky about what position you want. In the beginning, it might be, I want a government job. But what I learned through, like, the co-op, through the coordinators and, like, training and whatnot, is that getting a government job is harder than one in the nonprofit sector, possibly, because the way they do interviews is a little bit different. It's on, like, a point system, a rubric. But I think we'll come back to that a little bit later. But so the point is that it can be very difficult in the beginning to get a position. So, and for those people who do get it fast, who possibly just applied to the first one they really wanted and they got it, I actually feel bad for you, because you're not getting that experience. You're not feeling that stress of not getting a job, because later on in your life, when you do have that stress, I think it'll be harder for you to deal with that situation. So Henry, you've had more experience applying for jobs. So did you also have that pressure of not being able to find a job, difficult to get interviews, difficult for people to look at your resume?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think I had a goal where I would apply to two jobs every week, two jobs that I was either interested in or something I wanted to learn from that organization. I just applied, sent in my resume, never heard a thing back. And this continued, I started applying in January last year, and this continued until March, up until the call center when I got my application back, which is kind of ironic too, because you'd think the government, like, this, they're a really hard employer to get into, and they're the first ones I've had, well, second one.
Right.
And I've just been with them since. And honestly, just keep trying and keep applying.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a good motto. Keep trying and keep applying. You'll eventually get something. You really have to go for it. You can't give up as you keep going. So now I'd like to talk about less about applying to jobs, but let's talk about us getting into the co-op program. What were our kind of experiences? So what I remember on the co-op application process, though it has changed now. It was, you do an application. Let's talk about that first. It's an application. You give in your resume, what experience do you have? Then you have to answer a few questions, like, why are you interested in the co-op program? And then what employers are you interested in? Or are you looking to, like, what experiences are you hoping to get? Or what's like, they usually have this one in applications. Like, tell us about a situation where you had to deal with something problematic. What did you do? So what did you guys think of that application? Was it hard to fill out? Was it easy?
Not really. I was just truthful and honest about what about my past, and just applied and I got in. I honestly don't know why they took me in.
Did you get in on your first attempt?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
That's
wait. You guys applied more than once?
Yes. Me and Fionn. Me and Fionn didn't get in on our first try. Yeah. Me and Fionn, I applied in my second year. The co-op program has a rule where you can't apply in your first year when you start in university. You have to apply in your second year, and your last year to apply is in your third year. Mm-hmm. So if you don't get in the second year, your third year is your last chance to get in. So I applied in my second year. I passed the application where you send in your resume and you fill out the form and whatnot. I failed on the second step, which is you have to write. Yeah, there's like this writing assignment. Mine was you meet in like a lecture hall and they give you like some sort of email you have to write. Like, you received this email from this person, now you write an email back, and I didn't pass that
stage. I remember
that.
Yeah, I also had the same prompt. And then it was also in my second year where I applied for the co-op position, and the application process, like, the first step, it was okay. It was pretty straightforward, and you answer honestly because you know that those answers are what the arts co-op uses to help you, right? So in the second stage where you were doing your writing prompt, what happened was that they asked us to or they advised us to put all your answers on a Word document first,
right? I
did
remember that because you submit it on like a special web page, but it doesn't have like autocorrect and whatnot in it, so it's easier to write it in like a Word document and copy paste it in there when you're done.
Yeah, so my mistake was basically I wrote my notes about what I was going to write on the Word document, and then I wrote the actual paragraph, and then I think my main mistake was trying to submit it in the last 10 seconds. But basically I had
definitely don't want to do that.
Don't do that. But what I did was I accidentally copied my notes, including my notes and my final copy, and I put it right in, and then I sent it, and then the moment I pressed send, I was like, wait a minute, did I just send my notes as well? And that's exactly what I did. So I'm pretty sure that's
why you
reason.
Didn't pass.
Yeah.
I think mine was just that I remember I asked for feedback of like, why did I pass this stage? I don't remember exactly what they said. I think they said I didn't say enough in the email, like it wasn't detailed enough or something.
Right.
So after that, I was really upset about that, honestly. I felt really bad. But Henry, what did you have that writing prompt in?
I did. And I'll admit, they actually denied my application at that time. So I emailed the co-op program and I said, give me some feedback.
Right,
I need to know what happened, because when I applied, I was in my third year. And I think about a few days later, they got back to me and said, hey, we have more spots open. You're joining the program.
How lucky. Wow.
First attempt, my friends. Always try.
So lucky.
Good job. That's persistence for you.
Yeah. But I was really upset because I really wanted the co-op spot.
Yeah.
So, but when they take applications for like the co-op program, they also take it for the internship, because there's also an arts internship here.
Right, I remember.
So I thought, I'll go for the internship. And then, so I got into the internship, which we're going to focus on the co-op program, so I'm not going to really talk about that. But once I got into the internship program, I did an internship. And then I thought, with that experience, then I'll do better next year, my last chance to get into the co-op program. So I did an internship at Access Pro Bono, a nonprofit legal firm that helped people get free legal advice. So I helped them on the phones and like computer technical kind of stuff. So once I got that experience and I added it to my resume, I thought, okay, this will really help me next year. So then when I applied in my third year, I passed that writing prompt. And I think it was because at my internship, I did write a lot of emails. It was like the same thing last year. Mm-hmm. Emails. And then I got to the last stage, mm-hmm. which was the interview. So in the interview, I don't know if your interviews were similar, but mine was like a group interview.
Okay.
Where there were other... Did you also have group interviews?
Not exactly.
Henry's shaking yes.
Yes. Henry, for you?
I don't know what to say about it. Oh, I mean,
well,
it's just...
Yeah, but I had... There was like five other people in there with me, and they would do like... They would ask each person a question one at a time, and you answer the question. Okay, a tip for like other... students or people who are doing interviews right now, you want to use formulas when you answer a question. Mm-hmm. We've all practiced these formulas. There's the STAR formula. How does it go? It's like
situation, task, action, result. No, result.
Relevance.
Relevance.
Yeah, yes. That's exactly what you want to follow. I think there's also there's like
oh,
there's two pause. Pause.
Yeah.
Personal, academic,
work
skills.
Yeah. So if they're asking you a question like, here's a situation, what did you do in this situation? You would use the STAR formula. If it's more like introduce yourself, you would use the pause mm-hmm. formula. So you would go around the room, people would ask you a question. But something interesting they did in my interview
okay.
was at the end of it, like when you asked, like everybody has asked two questions, there was like all these like folded up pieces of paper in the middle.
Yeah, I remember. Oh, those are questions. Actually, I really liked the question that they gave us. But
okay,
go ahead.
Okay, so my question. So you pick out a question. It's really weird questions. It's like completely random. My question was: out of rock, paper, and scissors, which is the most useful? So I said paper because I thought paper is more versatile. When I thought of a rock, I think more like violence, and scissors is like to cut things. If it's paper, I mean, I could just like rip a piece of paper with my hands. Mm-hmm. So I was talking about that. What questions did you get?
Oh, my question was basically, okay, I don't remember the exact wording, but it was like, if there was an animal that could talk and you were afraid of it, like, why were you afraid of it? Like,
okay,
exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What was your answer?
I asked them for clarification, as in, can I like choose any animals? Can I choose...
Mythical animals?
Mythical animals, yeah. Exactly, yeah. And they said, yes, anything. And I was like, oh, perfect. Okay, I would choose a phoenix because in Chinese history and, like, folklore, like, phoenixes live a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I'm not going to be afraid of what they are, but I'd be afraid of the stories they tell.
Okay, like, interesting.
Yeah.
Henry, did you also have one of those?
I think I had your...
yours had the same
well.
Question?
Okay.
Wow.
But I think I answered... I think I said tiger, only because...
Okay.
I would not fight a tiger, and I'm sure they would see me as food. So that was my answer. I just went off it.
Okay.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
And so why do you guys think, or why do you people think, be more gender neutral, why do you think that they asked us that question?
To see what a reaction is, on the spot thinking. Yeah.
Right. Fionn?
I think that's part of it, and also it can test our creativity as well mm-hmm. as, like, oh, there's going to be this weird question that comes up. What is your answer?
Right. I think I agree with both of you. I think it also has to do with getting to know us, like our personality. Like all the other questions are very rigid. It's more about your experience. Mm-hmm. Whereas that one is more like let yourself go a little bit. Like who are you as a person? But what are some of your tips for when someone goes into an interview for a co-op program? Or what were some things that you... really reminded yourself of when you went in there? Like mine was the number one thing, I think, for everybody: dress professionally.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I think that's easy to do, but it might be difficult for girls versus boys. But what are your tips for interviews
when you're talking about dress professionally? When I had my co-op interview, like when mm-hmm. I was getting into the co-op program,
right.
my process was a little bit different because I was on exchange during that
right.
time.
Yes.
So I didn't actually have a group interview in that
okay.
sense.
Okay.
I had
a phone interview.
I had a Skype interview.
Okay.
And the funny thing is, it was at 4:30 a.m. in the morning.
Oh my
because
God.
Time differences and everything. And I was like, okay, I need to dress good. And also, my roommate's sleeping on the other side of the room. And I was like, okay,
God.
Need to maintain this professionalism. You know, gotta make sure this is fine. I already talked to my roommate. I'm gonna be like doing this interview. I'm sorry. And then dressing appropriately, even in Skype interviews, isn't
yes.
important. Even if your bottom half is in pajamas and you're ready to sleep,
just
you've gotta
make sure you
get
don't
ready.
Stand up.
For me, when I had that interview, all I remember was Because I get stage fright very easily.
Oh, okay.
So even in like a group of six people in a room, mm-hmm. scares the hell out of me.
Was yours a group interview?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So I would recommend future students, you know, practice in front of the mirror or mm-hmm. practice in front of your friends.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Or practice in front of strangers. I don't know how you're going to do that, yeah. but you'll figure something out.
Yeah. Something like that.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely practice beforehand. Don't go in there thinking, I can just do it on the spot. No, you have to practice the formulas. Make sure you get it right. You can just find like practice questions online and make sure you know your resume. You know your experience. So when you're asked those questions, you can just go into one of your experiences.
Yeah, always prepare a personal experience with mm-hmm. one of your answers. That's the ideal answer because you can demonstrate that you actually did do this and in mm-hmm. this situation you actually reacted that way.
Yeah. And what do you guys think of body posture? Any tips on there? Body posture?
Stay like, straight.
Yeah, sit up straight, try to use some, maybe use some hand gestures. I think definitely try to use some eye contact.
Eye contact was definitely a thing. Yeah.
And when you're in a group, when you're in a group setting, a group interview, you need to have eye contact with more than just who's interviewing you. You have to also like engage with your fellow interviewees because that also shows like teamwork and cooperation. You mm-hmm. can definitely show off your skills in those sort of nuanced ways, like those little.
Yeah, for sure.
Any last tips? No, nothing. We got nothing
that
else.
I can think of.
Right. I'm sure as we keep going, we'll come up with more. We definitely want to give everybody some tips. Give you some of our life experience.
Oh, so yeah, I actually just remembered a tip for practicing interviews. I know Henry said earlier that practicing in front of mirrors, it actually helps him a lot. For me, I like to use repetition. So I like to write my answers multiple times and then basically I will know like what I'm going to say when I need to say it. So when I actually have the questions on hand and I know exactly what the questions are, I would usually actually have an entire speech. I know a lot of people say take notes and just put it in note form instead of writing like every single word, but I find that it helps me writing every single word. Like, I'm not sure why, but it just flows a lot more easily is not a word, more easily when I actually have like the words in front of me and know what I'm going to say at that moment. And then moments when we don't have the questions, which is the case for a lot of the interviews, those I actually prepare using the formulas we mentioned earlier, so STARR and PAWS.
And what Fionn has just described is how to spell the word star incorrectly. But of course she spelled the word pause correctly. But of course those are the words to Fionn's spelling. And she's never been in a spelling bee, have you?
I have, actually.
Oh my god, never mind. She's been in a spelling bee. Of course she knows how to spell. But you misspelled star.
Excuse me.
No, I understand. That's the correct way for the formula. The formula is the incorrect spelling of star.
Situation, task, action, result, and relevance.
Yes, we know it by heart by now because we've used it so many times. And that's the level you need to get to also.
Mm-hmm.
So now, while you contemplate how you're going to remember that acronym, I'm going to play this next song from Carlo, from their album Carlo. It's Carlo Carlo. This is track 13, The Return.
Thank you. What a strange way to be brought together. The ones they've loved have been wounded or died.
Everyone dies.
Yes, but everyone isn't killed. In a way, being loved is like being told you never have to die.
Johnny, good luck to Johnny Canuck and all.
UBC Theater and Film presents Timothy Findley's The Wars, adapted by Dennis Garnham, directed by Lois Anderson, taking us deep inside the mind of a soldier and catapulting us into the mud, smoke, and chlorine gas of the front line in France in World War I.
Emerging artists tell the story of soldiers and their families, not much older than they are now. Timothy Findley's The Wars is ultimately life-affirming, proving that human connection is all.
November 7th to 23rd, Frederick Wood Theater. Tickets for students only $11.50.
Theaterfilm.ubc.ca.
Hi, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Nitu Da, and this is my show, Convictions and Contradictions, otherwise known as CEC, probably the only radio show to ever be subtitled, ironically. We are broadcasting from the traditional and unceded territory of the Musqueam and Coast Salish people, and now we will continue the show to talk about how interviews are just like video games and being a Broadway star. So what we've talked about so far is the beginning stages of the co-op application. There is a original written application that you give in, and then there's the writing prompt. We've had emails mostly, but it could vary differently. And then the last step in the co-op application is the interview, which is definitely the hardest step. It's the hardest one to overcome, but it's the last one. So once you've overcome it, it's a great feeling. It's like a video game. Like me, I'm a big video gamer. So if you also play video games, then you know that the last boss, the last stage, is always the hardest. Some of you have at least played like Mario Brothers. Once you get to the end, you know, Bowser or whoever it is, he's always the hardest. He has the most, like, you know, weapons to throw at you. Or not weapons, more like fireballs to throw at you. Oh my gosh, I'm forgetting my games. I know my games, okay? I can prove it. Just another time. But the interviews is just the hardest one because you're on the spot. It's like playing a video game, the last stage, without any extra lives. Like, this is your one life. You have this much health. This is like as many mistakes as you can make. If you make too many, then you die.
That is a great analogy.
Thank you.
Also, but also, I am in complete agreement. Goodness gracious.
Come on, Fionn.
No, I am in complete agreement. Wait, don't. Please rewind this.
I can't rewind it. That's impossible. This is just like the interview. You can't rewind it. It's on the spot. Come on, Fionn. Finish your point.
My point was that I'm in complete agreement with you.
Thank you.
And that...
That's always a great point to make when you're in agreement with me.
Of course. And that the moment you say a wrong word or a phrase like I just did just now, mm-hmm. you can't rewind it. You really can't go back.
You can't take it back. Another analogy, all as good as the first one. It's like you're a Broadway star. You're on the stage. All eyes are on you. All ears are listening to you. And it's up to you to nail your lines on the spot because you can't rewind. You can't tell the audience to like, no, wait, I take it back. Let me start over.
Wait.
You can't do that in the interview. You can't tell your interviewer, like, wait, I need to like redo this. Well, you could, but of course that it doesn't come off well. You want to get it right the first time. Mm-hmm. And okay, maybe a Broadway star isn't the exact perfect analogy. Because in a Broadway musical, or, well, not a musical necessarily, if you make any little mistakes, it's really bad. But if you make a little mistake in an interview where maybe you want to rephrase something a little differently, that's okay. That you can pass that. It's like, this is where my video game analogy is better. When you're fighting the final boss, if you lose some health, it's okay. As long as you survive and beat the boss. Beat the boss is a metaphor for getting into the program.
Of course.
If it wasn't clear. So that's what we're going to talk about next. The most difficult and hardest stage in the co-op program. Where you don't have that magical keyboard you had in the beginning. When you were doing your writing assignments. Where you can backspace and delete and undo. It's no longer available. You're on the spot. The cameras are rolling. And these cameras, they don't have a pause button. They don't have a rewind button. It's the video game's final stage. And now we're going to play a nice instrumental tune, which is what a lot of video games have. This is from Jessica Moss's album, Entanglement, called Particles.
Thank you. Thank you. The Morning After Show is celebrating its 20th anniversary on Friday, November 22nd at the Rickshaw Theater. Jenny and the Mexicats will be lighting up the stage along with special guest Maria Blues from LA. And also our local favorites, Roomba 7 and Kawama. The show starts at 8 p.m. on November 22nd. You can get your tickets now for $20 at Red Cat or High Life, or buy it online at Eventbrite. Come celebrate 20 years of eclectic sounds and live music on The Morning After Show.
Humbug. A modern adaptation of A Christmas Carol celebrates the downtown Eastside community in its 10th annual and final season. It's the perfect family holiday treat, filled with rock, blues, and Christmas carols. Plus, enjoy live music from a youth choir. Opens December 5th at SFU Woodwards, located at 149 West Hastings Street. For tickets and details, visit sfuwoodwards.ca.
That's it for today's show of CC. And next up at 9 a.m. is Thunderbird Eye.
Hey, this is Taylor Morey from Deadweight Citizens Brigade, and you are listening to CITR FM 101.9, Vancouver's home of rock and roll.
To explain. Cigarettes make me nervous, and I turn water into wine. And I called you on purpose, 'cause I know you got the time. Cigarettes
Hello and welcome into our broadcast. My name is Jacob Ayer, and alongside me are Jake McGrail, Liz Wang, Corey Branson, and Nico Roselli of CITR Sports, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus located on the